Good morning, Calvary. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 1. And we'll direct traffic from there, but we're not going to be in Luke, chapter number 1. We'll be in Mark, chapter number 16, but I figured it'd be easier to see because it's on the opposite page of Luke, chapter 1, or it is in my Bible. It's good to be here today. Good to see the church house nearly full again. Even knowing that we've got several people sick, the church is still full, and I appreciate you showing up and just being a part of the worship service here at Calvary today. Folks, God has blessed Calvary Baptist Church beyond anything I could have ever dreamed. He's kept his hand upon us, and anytime there's a transition in church leadership and everything, it's always, you don't know. There's some uncertainty there, but I'm telling you what, you've stayed right in there, stayed faithful to the cross of Christ, and Calvary, you blessed me, and it's a blessing to look out across and see this good number. If anybody loves the cross today, the way it's decorated, and you thank Miss Margaret Johnson, because Margaret, it's gorgeous, and I appreciate what she's done. That is the Christmas tree. That's it right there. If you're looking for a Christmas tree, that's it. And I sure do appreciate Margaret taking the time to decorate that thing. And the cross in itself was not beautiful, but that symbolizes why Christ came. We could have a manger scene, and we can do that, but Christ didn't come to stay in a manger, and he didn't come to stay on a cross. He didn't come to stay in a tomb, Brother Larry. He come that he might bleed, suffer, die, and then be resurrected on the third day of his own volition, own power, and then he might be coming back, and he will come back one day. This morning, I don't know why God does what he does, but last week we preached Sunday morning on sin, just plain old message on sin. And today's message is about to every creature there is a preacher. And I want you to think about that for a moment, because you say, well, not everybody's a preacher. I'm not talking about a preacher in the sense of the one that God has placed his hand upon and found faithful and then set aside and put him in the gospel ministry to be that would hold this sacred desk or be a prison missionary or be an evangelist or whatever it might be. But I'm talking about you yourself going into your workplace, into your school place, into your common place, wherever you shop, your social media pages, wherever you might be, wherever you might go, that you yourself might tell Christ. And that's what we're preaching about today. To every creature, there is a preacher. And you say, well, why is that important? Because I don't go where you go. Brother Larry's a preacher, but he doesn't go where you go. Brother Chris is a preacher, but you think Brother Chris goes everywhere you go? He doesn't. And neither do any of the other preachers. Brother Troy and Brother Joe, Brother Derek, Brother John, none of us go. Brother Archer, we don't go where everybody in here goes, but they go, and as they go, they ought to be taking Christ with them. You should be taking the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever it is that you go. And I said it last year about this same time. This is one of the easiest periods in the entire year for you to preach, because almost everybody without fail celebrates Christmas. Almost everybody. I don't know of anybody that doesn't. In my circle of where I go and the people that I meet, I don't know of anybody, Miss Jan, that doesn't worship around Christmas. Even working in the secular employment that I do, every year at Christmas, it starts very early and people come in, what kind of Christmas stamps do you have? But then a little bit later, they'll say, do you have any Kwanzaa stamps? Do you have any Hanukkah stamps? Do you have any EID stamp? Do you have this or do you have that? And what they're doing is everybody's focusing on this one central thing. Jesus' birth. Every one of them. Now, as we look at this today, we'll be in the book of Mark, chapter number 16 today, and we're going to primarily read one verse. I will read the latter part of the book of Mark just for the sake of reading it to keep it in context, but Christ has been resurrected, the crucifixion taken place. He's been resurrected, and then he's appeared unto those that were there. And while he's there, he gives one final great commission. And that great commission is for each and every one of us. It's not just to a Troy Barons. It's not just to me as your pastor. It's to every single one of us. And I want you to grasp that this morning. So as we try to stand, and I'll give you just a few quick prayer requests as you're finding your place and standing. Brother Potts is here today, and let's remember his dear wife. She remains down in 7143, and Forsyth Hospital, and hopefully and prayerfully will be released early this week back to the rehab center. So, Brother Potts, we're still praying for Miss Jean. We love you, buddy. And also continue praying for the Badgett family, as you well know, in Westfield at Westfield Baptist Church at 2:30 today. We'll be doing the funeral for Brother Gary's mother, Miss Betty Nestor Badgett. So you pray for that family. And as I said, Brother Gary's had a big year. I mean, he lost his father earlier in the year. Now he's lost his mother. He himself has had a huge sickness to contend with. And Cole moved out, got married, moved out. That changed his whole, everything's changed for the Badgett family. And I just ask you, please, to lift them up. Cindy's daddy's still in rehab at Wilkes Senior Villages and following about with pneumonia. I could go on and on. Brother Steve, thank God for you being back. We've not seen Miss Mary back yet, but you pray for Brother Steve and Miss Mary, having had both had knee replacement surgeries. And please, please, please pray for Miss Cletha and then also Brother Woody. Brother Woody needs your prayers, and Miss Jeanette needs your prayers. If you call over there, expect Miss Jeanette to be just a barrel of emotions. She loves her husband, and I just ask you, please lift up Brother Woody, Miss Jeanette, Miss Cletha, and then don't forget Cliff and Ray, all of our six shut-ins. You know who's need to be prayed for. Just throw that out there. But this morning, we as a church, and more importantly, me as an individual, have a great commission. Why are we here? Why is Calvary Baptist Church sit on the side of Pads Road? In 1946, whenever they established this place as an old brush arbor's where it started off of, and then they built this church here, what was the primary focus and what was the primary concern of those early patriarchs that would say, hey, we need a church on Pads Road, right here at the corner of Miller's Creek and North Wilkesboro and Wilkesboro, where the community comes together? What was the primary purpose? My thought was this: to see souls saved, to evangelize this community. And Brother Tam said it, and others have said it. Miss Connie said it in a testimony. This church has been blessed by the efforts of a few. And I'm telling you what, whenever I look, those little kids were way back here. Kids, hang in there. Keep coming to the Lord. Keep coming to church, but more importantly, coming to the Lord. Robbie, keep working the communities. Get help. Enlist help. If you can't enlist it, recruit them. If you can't recruit them, draft them. Because God's speaking to some hearts in here about what this message is going to preach on today. I promise you, it's not for naught. It's not going to return void. He promised us that in His Word. So we'll take up the reading in Matthew chapter number 16. I'll pick up the reading in verse number 9. But knowing that the 15th verse will be our primary verse that we will look at today. If you found your place in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 9, say amen. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And when she went and told them that had been with Him, as they mourned and wept, and they went, that they, when they had heard that He was alive and had seen, been seen of her, believed not. And after that He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked, that was Cleopas and the others, as they went back toward Emmaus. The Bible said that they went into their country. And when they were, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. By this time, as you well know, Judas has went out and hung himself. He's no longer part of the original 12. So the Bible said He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. Here is our text verse for this message today. He said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Brother Troy Behrens asked God to bless our scripture reading, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to have church here. We're going to be church. How about that? As I said, this message is going to be not just for a singular one of us. It's going to be for every single one of us today. And I want you to look today. I got my phone out of my pocket. There's a little app on these things, whether you know it or not. You can go to your app store. I don't care if you've got an Android or whether you have an iDevice. It doesn't matter. But if you'll go out to the app store, for free of charge, you can find you a King James Bible. You can use the Carta Bible. You can use Blue Letter Bible. There's just a host of Bibles. And these things have ready search engines, and you can use these things. I've got two or three on mine that I like because I like the search engines better than some. Some of them, you can hit a button, and it can read it to you. Let me tell you, you may not always have your King James leather-bound and up-tech King James Bible. You may not always have that at the ready. You may not even be able to take it to where you work because it might be a safety hazard if you're doing something around machinery or doing something. You may not be able to have that, but most places will let you keep your personal cell device as long as you can keep it in your pocket or whatever. But then whenever you get a little break and you get to go out at lunch and you say, well, I can sit there and read that. Yeah, everybody's got it out at the table, but not everybody's sitting there reading their Bible. You say, well, then why would you say to get it out? Because there's going to be somebody in the restaurant that whether or not they know Christ, you don't know that because you don't. I don't know that all of y'all know Christ, but you can take that little Bible out, and Brother Troy, you can take that thing out and start reading a little bit of Scripture, and you get a little bit of that Scripture hidden way down inside of your heart. Brother Tim, I know that you and Miss Sam like to go up to Mad Jack's, and then all you got to do is just look over at somebody, and this time of the year, with everybody having out their greenery, everybody having out a Christmas tree, everybody putting out ornaments, everybody having a manger scene or whatever it might be, that would indicate the time of the season, which is Christmas. Brother Robbie, it's very easy for you to broach the subject of why we're here today, why the Christmas tree's up, why the garland's up. You can even look over, somebody say, man, they've really got this place decorated up for Christmas. And Brother Tim, that's how easy that it is to bring up the word Christ. Why? Because the first part of Christmas is Christ. And that's why I'm glad that we got the cross up there, Miss Margaret. That cross represents something far bigger than any one of us. But if it's maybe it's an earring in somebody's ear at the mall or at Walmart or whatever. And brother, a lot of people use them as ornaments and decoration. They'll have it on a necklace. A lot of people, be it right or wrong, they put it on their shoulders, a big tattoo. And that's the way that it is. They stick it out there. But the cross and Christ and Christmas is everywhere around us. Today I would start out by saying that every single one of us has the means to be a witness. Every single one of us has the means to be an effective witness. It does not mean that you are an effective witness. It does not mean that I am an effective witness. But Brother Derek, every one of us has the means to do that. We've got cell phones that's got Bible apps. We've got Bibles. We've got personal web pages. Everybody here's got a Facebook. I'm surprised because I'll see something that's just totally hilarious. And whether it be somebody trying to crank their donkey or rather it be somebody riding a llama, and that thing will be out there on social media. And there'll be 20 million likes and 10,000 shares, and you put that thing out there, Miss Jenny, immediately, like. But then, Brother Tim, you take an old picture about loving God or being an effective witness for Jesus Christ, you might get one or two shares. And it's just funny how that works. Everybody's about frivolity. Everybody's about fun stuff. And there ain't nothing wrong with that as long as it's clean and okay. But Brother Chris, how much more would it be useful for you to take your social media platform, be it Instagram, be it Snapchat, Twitter, whether it be Facebook or whether it be any of these other Pinterest board or whatever. And how about pinning that thing up with good old-fashioned Holy Ghost, God sent, inspired Christian quotes from old Spurgeon or D.L. Moody or Billy Sunday or somebody. How about filling your webpage with something that whenever they look at it, they'll think, hey, there's something about this person. Maybe they'll start saying, hey, what it is about this person? Brother Ryan, they might just start digging a little bit, and then they'll find out that you're a Christian or you're different. And why is he different? Well, I'll tell you why he's different, because of that old bloodstained banner. Bless God, that's made a difference in his life. Now, I'll tell you this, that we all might have the means to do it, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of us just don't have the motivation to do it. Brother Tim, we won't do it. Why? Because somebody might look at us kind of confusing. Why? And they think, well, who's he think he is to come out here to tell me how to live my life? Brother Ryan, you've seen it. in our own family. There were some that's having unwed pregnancies and unplanned pregnancies, whatever you want to call it. And I come out on my social media page, Brother Tam. I thought I was going to get kicked out of the family because I went out there. And listen, I know that people mess up and sin is sin, but sin should not be congratulated. You shouldn't just start whooping and hollering because somebody had an unplanned pregnancy. Be quiet and discreet about it. That's happened in my family as well. I've got a cousin that's a pastor of a church here in the area, and he's got a daughter that had a child out of wedlock. They didn't go out with fanfare and trumpet that around, Brother Tam. It was very quiet. It was very discreet. They repented of the sin that they were involved in, and then they went on and quietly had that baby, and they're raising it up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Brother Tam, there's a way to do these things, but a lot of times you'll get excoriated for what you're doing, and because of that, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to call sin out on that social media page, or I'm not going to tell my neighbor about that. I'm just not going to mention it in the family circle because I know how some of them are. Robbie, they got to see it, and they got to know it. It might offend just a little bit, but did Christ not offend a whole lot of people? Did Christ, was he not offensive? He said, I don't come to bring peace, but I come to cause division. That's what he said. I didn't make that up, and he did cause a divide, and the world's still divided today. Bless God, there's sheep and goats. There's heaven and hell. There's right and wrong. There's life and death. Bless God, they're saved and lost. And where are we at on that page? I'm on the side of right, not because I'm right, because he's right. I'm on the side of the saved, not because I have any good, but because he does. It's all about him. And bless God, once we look at this page right here, Brother John, he's telling us, and we'll just start off and just go right through that verse. We'll break it down very quickly. Listen to me, my friends. We've got books, and we've got blessings beyond blessings, and we've got the ability, brother. How many Bibles do you have in your house? I counted mine the other day. I've got 19 Bibles on one bookshelf, and they're all mine. They're all on this one bookshelf. You said, then why are you carrying one held together by duct tape? I don't know. I just love that Bible. It's like it's a part of me. But let me tell you, we've got the blessings. We've got the book, the hope, and the blessed hope of God and the blood. But yet we lack boldness to go tell anybody. Brother Greg, don't be sheepish about it. Be bold with your faith. Tell somebody about it. What's the first word as we start off and we start dissecting? Chapter number 15. Very first word is go. Let me just ask you this. Have you ever went? And if you have never went, that first word says go. Does that right? Am I rightly dividing it? Does that not say go? Then I asked you, did you take that as a suggestion or did you take it as a command of God? Is there a purpose? Whenever David walked out there and saw Goliath and he asked the question, is there not a cause? I ask you the same question today. Is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose, Miss Jess, that we would go? What is the greater purpose, Brother Archie? I'll tell you what the greater purpose is this. This world is sick. It's sick and steeped in sin and mired so deep into sin that used to be profane is now called okay. And if you can't make it okay, we'll just legalize it and then call it okay because it's got the government stamp of approval on it. I'm seeing it in every walk of life, whether they're legalizing homosexuality or legalizing abortion or legalizing, it'll be a national referendum eventually on legalization of pot and cannabis, and they'll call it right or wrong, and they'll try to sell you that. Let me tell you, if God says that it's wrong, it's wrong, and you don't need some governmental official to try to make it right. We just got to stand up, and bless God, there is a great purpose for what I'm preaching on today. And Miss Nanny, it's because this world needs Jesus. This world needs Christ. Who's going to take it, Brother John? Just the preachers that are God called, the ones that the Bible said, if any man desires the office of a bishop, let him be this and that. No, that's not who this is speaking to, my friend. It's speaking to Eli at the drive-thru at Hardee's. It's speaking to Ben wherever Ben might go. It's speaking to you today. The very first word, and that is this. And that is namely to go. Bless God, you better have a plan in place. You say, well, I just go in to eat. I don't go in planning to be a witness. Plan ahead a little bit, Brother Chris. But don't just go. Go with a burden on your heart for lost souls. Because if you don't go, Brother Chris, with a burden on your heart, you're not going to see the need. Why? Because you're not burdened about lost people. You just see their sin. You just see that that's in your your face. You just see that, Brother Kim, that wicked, wicked sin that's out there. Man, God, we need to see him, Miss Dot, not as the sin that they're steeped and involved in, but we need to see him as a sinner in need of a Savior. We need to see him that way. Go with a burden. Go broken, Brother Tim. Go broken for this lost world in which we live in. Brother Chris, go that way. Because if you don't go that way, you'll just go in to get your burger. But if you'll go in with a plan, knowing that God's got a greater purpose for it, Brother Ryan, you got brokenness in your heart for the one that might just be ready to slip off into a devil's hell. And then you might go in and try to change that. And like I said, you don't go in, Brother Joe, preaching. Marsh God, you all need to get right in here. You're going to split hell wide open. No, all you got to do is look around. Look how they painted these windows. They got snowflakes on every window in here. I guess they did that because it's Christmas. Yeah, probably what they did. You going to do anything for Christmas this year? Yeah, we'll probably. You do what? Blah, blah, blah. You put up a tree? Yeah. Boy, I'm glad for the tree, aren't you? Yeah, I'm glad for the tree. What are you talking about? I'm glad for the tree. I'm glad for the cross. It's that easy, Brother Troy, but you're not going to do that unless you see and go with a brokenness and a burden for souls, Brother John. You won't witness. You'll just go and say, give me a biggie size three. Eli, biggie size my fries, son. Give me a bigger this and a bigger that. But when you sit down, you ought to start looking around and see somebody in there that might be downtrodden. You ever notice people? I don't know why, but I sit with my back to the wall in the furthest booth or corner I can. I just do that, and I watch people. You never know who's going to come in and shoot the place up. Keith, I know you do. You try to put your back to the wall, and you're just watching people. But when you're reading people, I challenge you. Brother Joe, look around. This world is sad. Heads are down. People are downtrodden. They're cast down. It's like Brother Jody brought up in Sunday school. This is a hard time of the year anyway, because this is going to be the season that somebody's going to have the first Christmas without their mother. We're going to have that. It's going to be the first Christmas that a man lost his job, and now he's in a pinch, and he has no way to provide for his family. There's going to be children that get abundance, and in their abundance, they get more than they could ever play with or use. And then there's going to be kids that won't get anything. The world's sad, and you look around it. You look around the world and everybody's downtrodden and they're cast down, and everybody could use a pick-me-up. I promise you, the people come to see you, they could use a pick-me-up. Let them see Christ in you. So as I keep going down through this, the very first word of that plan is to go. And I challenge you to go broken, to go burdened, and to go biblically. Don't go in with some hate-filled diatribe saying this and that. No, go in love and preach it in love. You say, well, how am I supposed to preach it? I'm not a preacher. Just love on them a little bit and do it biblically. Jesus Christ is love. There's no hate in him. There's no guile. There's no vitriol in his voice. It's everything all about love. And that's what Christ did. He loved us and he loved us to death. Just go in that manner. Go burdened, go broken, go biblically. Go believing that somebody might get saved and you just might convince them to, but also go boldly. Because once you do that, I'm telling you, somebody might say, hey, I don't know where he was from or who he is, but I love his compassion. I love his desire, his drive. I love what he's got. Once that purpose is understood and you put your plan in place, what was the plan? To go. That's what it says in the very first part of the commission, was to go. Then you got to have the next part. What's the next word in that? What? Who? Ye. Is that a word? If you translate ye from the old English into the modern day, what does ye mean? You. Me. We. Us. It's every single one of us. Is every bit of this word, is 2 Timothy 3:16 still in the Bible that tells us that every word is inspired by God and every one of us profitable for us? Every bit of it, brother, it's for us. It's not just for them. It was put in that book for all of us. So whenever he said to go, ye, he's then putting the person in the place of being the witness, Brother John. Who's it mean? It means you. It means me. It means us. It means you, young man. While you're at the church house, let somebody know that, much can I get to go to Calvary Baptist Church? And let them know what we stand for over here. Man, they love Jesus over there. And I love Jesus in my heart. I baptized you, didn't I? I remember that. Go tell them, say, Muskin, I got baptized over there. I was saved over there. And I love the Lord. And they love Jesus over there. And we're going to celebrate his birth over there. It's all about the Lord. But the preacher is the person that's in your shoes. Every person, every creature needs a preacher. Brother Chris, I think I heard you say that not long ago. Every creature needs a preacher. And that's the truth. I need a preacher. I need somebody once in a while to run something by me. Don't go in there and try to share with them what you don't know. So you're saying, what are you saying, Brother Greg? Goes back to what we talked about in prayer room Wednesday night. Study. That's what I opened up with. Get your Bible out. Get your little phone out and study. Get something in your heart that you might share it with somebody. Find out, because Brother Tim, you can't tell somebody about something if you don't know about that something. You can't share about how to be saved if you've never been saved. You can't share about how good God's love is except that you've experienced that. And I've told you that, my friends, many, many times. I did not understand the level of your grief until I myself have grieved in that manner. I've seen people lose their mother, but I didn't know what it meant to lose a mother because I had never lost one, but now I do. I'm telling you, go in that nature and in that fashion, brother. But go study it up. Have something in your heart and know what you're going to do ahead of time. Have a plan. Be broken about it. Be burdened about it. And then do this. Sacrifice. Sacrifice a little bit of your time. Get up a little bit early. Finish just a little bit early with your meal that you might make time. I've only got 30 minutes, preacher. Use 20 of it to eat and 10 minutes of it to witness to somebody about how good God is. I know we had a death in our little office July the 18th, one of my employees got killed in a car accident just after they finished their duties. I want to tell you that singular event made it so easy. Brother, it's never been easier in all of my 30 plus years in that employee. It's never been easier for me to talk about God in the workplace. Brother Tim, it comes up every day about how good God is. Oh, we all talk about how much we miss Miss Helen and what a bright spot she was. She was the life of our little party. She was the flower that bloomed every single morning when she come in. And it was that way. And now it's all coming too, Brother Tim. It's easy to talk about God in the workplace. Why? Because we remember her testimony. We remember how jovial she was. I'm telling you, my friends, take a little bit of time, study it out ahead of time, and then sacrifice 10 minutes of your time. Cut your meal short just a little bit. Leave a little bit later. Leave a little bit earlier. Leave a little bit later that you might talk to them afterward. Leave a little bit earlier that you might get to them before school or before work. But anyway, sacrifice a little bit of your time. I'm afraid sometime when I opened up, I said sometime we have the means, but we just lack the motivation or the motive to do it. How about this? They're hanging in the balance. Their soul's hanging in the balance. But a lot of times we're just lackadaisical about it. We're just filled with apathy. We're unconcerned. We're uncaring. And that spills over. Brother Jody, you quoted it in the prayer room, the quote that we all use around here. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. But do they know how much you even care? Sometimes we don't even show that. So the Great Commission was to go, and the next part was ye. What's the next part? Into all the world. Where's the place? To all the world. Wherever you go. Whenever you go. While you go. Everything spills over into the next part. Into all the world. I don't go where you go, Troy Barons. I don't do that, Brother Chris. I don't go where you go. So it's important for you and for Preston and every single one of us. Miss Cindy said, well, I don't go anywhere. Yeah, you do. You go places. Everywhere that you go. And you ought to go in the name of the Lord and go with that I'm preaching about today. You say, well, I don't really go anywhere, preacher. You got a social media page? It goes back to that. Do you, Miss Sherry? Yeah, you do. I know. I'm your friend. No, I'm not preaching about that. I'm not trying to denigrate it or say it's bad. I'm saying you've got one because I see your grandkids' pictures on there all the time and you're happy about it. I don't have grandkids, so you see our Yorkies. Or kids. Go ye into all the world. Use that as a platform. You say, well, I don't know what's out there. Find something. Use Google. Google's your friend when it comes down to searching out Spurgeon quotes or other quotes, brother. There's a lot of stuff out there, Brother Larry. All you do is find something that's uplifting, a Christ-honoring, and throw it out there. The whole world might need it. I don't know at the times. I'll just send out a text or something, Brother Lewis. I'm not in your place. I'm not where you're at. But if I send you a text and said, Brother Lewis, the Lord is a present help in time of trouble. You know what I just did to you? I just preached to you. I gave you something that might help you along your journey. And I've done it to others. And you should do it to others. Brother Tim, I can't tell you the time. I just get out of the blue. Here comes Tim. Or Brother Ken, back there's another good one. And many of you in here do that. I'm sitting there and I'm about ready to just pull my hair. Well, I can't pull my hair out, but whatever I was going to do, I'm wringing my hands. And all of a sudden, here comes a text through. Praying for you, preacher. Love you, preacher. Hang in there, preacher. It's all right, preacher. I'm telling you, Brother Tim, what are they doing? They're preaching to me. And that word of text, or that word of, it might come at the opportune time. I'm about 1 o'clock last night. My little brother over here, stupid as he is, about 104. I believe it was 104, said, praying for you, brother. You don't know what that does to my heart. What are you doing? You're preaching. You're encouraging me. And it's not all about condemning sinners. Maybe sometimes it's about encouraging the saints of God. Sometimes it's about just uplifting somebody else who's already down. And that means something, Brother Joe. He said, go ye. Where? Into all the world. I've showed you the purpose. I showed you the plan, right? I've showed you the person, me and you, all of us. And now I've showed you the places, wherever you're at, be that. Wherever you go, and while you go, and while you're there, and whenever you leave, and when you get back, do it again. Never stop showing the works of Christ. It's been said of an old patron saint called St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. That's good. When necessary, Brother Tim, let them see it. Don't just let them hear it. Let them see it. You say, well, how are they going to see it? We'll keep going. Go ye into the world, into all the world. And do what? Preach the gospel. Well, how am I going to preach it? Preach it in love. Like I said earlier, don't do it in hate with a hateful spirit or hateful nature. Preach it in love. Let them see that, hey, this means something to me. I'm passionate about my Savior. I'm passionate about the Word of God. I'm passionate about my church. I'm passionate about you, brother. Are you all right? Do you know the Lord is your Savior, my friend? I know you've been down a little bit lately. Yeah, I know Him, but I ain't been talking to Him. I ain't been to church in 23,000 years. But brother, let me tell you, if you're truly saved, you've got a friend that's never left you. He's the friend that would stick closer than a brother. You need to tap into that source. You need to get into that, my friend. But do it in love. Do it loudly. Do it where you're at. Do it with your lives. Do it with your lips. Do it with your looks. You say, how do I do it with my looks? I'm telling you what, I've seen some people that didn't look much like Christ. Had more hanging out, they had more hanging in. I'm telling you, my friends, dress modestly and let that you see be a reflection of God Almighty. It'll work, Brother Tam. When you see those of the Amish country, do they not look different? I'm telling you, sure they do. Why? Because they're doing that for a testimony. They're doing it. And I'm not saying every one of y'all go out and get a little bonnet and a hat. I'm saying dress the way that God would be pleased if He walked in the midst of the service today and looked around. Why? Because He is here through the person of the Holy Spirit. I just went, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. Now, who do we preach it to? I'm telling you, there's people everywhere. There are people everywhere. Regardless of their race, preach to them. I stood up there. Where's Miss Kelsey? Brother Seth. I stood up there. I don't know. You don't have to answer this if either one of you don't want to. But has any of you, anybody in your circle where you two go, have they ever looked at you with a curious eye as to why you have two black children in your home? Every day. I knew the answer to that question, but I didn't want to put you on the spot. Listen, it doesn't matter their race. It doesn't matter their religious background. Christ was, I'm talking about, He was always surrounded, Brother Tam, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Did He let religion become a barrier unto that He was trying to win? No, He didn't. Don't let religious natures and religious themes and religious people, I get them every single day, the same as you would about the race thing. Does a person of any other race, color, creed, do they not deserve Christ the same as I do? I don't deserve Christ anyway, but don't they? If I do, don't they? Sure they do. So why would we try to segregate people by whatever it is? But I get people almost every day, Brother Tam, because of where I work. There's about 100 little ministries out there, and most of them are non-denominational. They're this or they're that, and they've come in and they've heard that I'm a pastor, and they'll ask that question really quickly. Are you the pastor? And I'll say yes, and they'll say where? And I'll say Calvary. And they'll say the next thing, Brother Tam, you know what they want to know? Calvary what? They want to know if we're Calvary Presbyterian, Calvary Episcopalian, Calvary Wesleyan, Calvary Lutheran, Calvary Baptist. They want to know what we are. And as soon as I go ahead and follow the prompts and go right through and say Calvary Baptist. Oh, well, we're non-denominational. By taking on the banner of being a non-denominational member, you know what you just did? You just put yourself in another group. The same as I am a Baptist, they are non. You just labeled yourself. My goodness, folks, could we not get back? I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine. I believe it lines up with the scriptures. But I believe that with all my heart. I'm going to keep preaching as a Baptist, and I believe that. But brother, don't skip somebody just because of their this or because of their that. To tell them about Jesus. He said, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature." Every creature in the prisons, tell them about God. You had to, God knew this before Miss Ernest ever married your mother and you were conceived. God knew that you were going to be a prison minister. Your last name is Key, for crying out loud. The key to the prison. God knew that. And what are you? You're going in there and telling them how that they can be free. That had to be God when he called you and sent you to the prison. You are the keys to the prison. Go ye into the world. Go where you go and preach the gospel to every creature. Go boldly. Go in love. As Brother Scott comes and Miss Macy would come over and Miss Joe would come down. You said you're cutting it off short. I'm